I shall also describe this sublime knowledge, which is the door to spiritual life, to my mother, so that she also can attain perfection and self-realization, ending all reactions to fruitive activities. Thus, she also will be freed from all material fear. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Kardama Muni was anxious about his good wife, Devahuti, while leaving home, and so the worthy son promised that not only would Kardama Muni be freed from the material entanglement, but Devahuti would also be freed by receiving instruction from her son. A very good example is set here. The husband goes away taking the sannyas order for self-realization, but his representative, the son, who is equally educated, remains at home to deliver the mother. A sannyasi is not supposed to take his wife with him. At the vanaprastha stage of retired life, or the stage midway between householder life and renounced life, one may keep his wife as an assistant without sex relations. But in the sannyas order of life, one cannot keep his wife with him. Otherwise, a person like Kardama Muni could have kept his wife with him, and there would have been no hindrance to the prosecution of self-realization. Kardama Muni followed the Vedic injunction that no one in sannyas life can have any kind of relationship with women. But what is the position of a woman who is left by her husband? She is entrusted to the son, and the son promises that he will deliver his mother from entanglement. A woman is not supposed to take sannyas. So-called spiritual societies concocted in modern times give sannyas even to women, although there is no sanction in the Vedic literature for a woman's accepting sannyas. Otherwise, if it were sanctioned, Kardama Muni could have taken his wife and given her sannyas. The woman must remain at home. She has only three stages of life: dependency on the father in childhood, dependency on the husband in youth, and an old age dependency on the grown-up son, such as Kapila. In old age, the progress of woman depends on the grown-up son. The ideal son, Kapila Muni, is assuring his father of the deliverance of his mother so that his father may go peacefully without anxiety for his good wife. Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 24, entitled The Renunciation of Kardama Muni, Text Number 40. It is my very great pleasure and fortune to be amongst all of you once again in Srila Prabhupada's holy abode of New Dwarka. In this section of Srimad Bhagavatam, we are reading of the renunciation of Kardama Muni. He was a great sage living in the forest. The Lord Himself inspired within His heart the desire to marry. He married the daughter of Svayambhuva Manu, a great king, whose name was Devahuti. Devahuti was a princess brought up in indescribable luxuries. In fact, she was so beautiful that when she would play on her roof, demigods seeing her would sometimes fall unconscious and drop from their airplanes. Now, being a king, Swayambhuva Manu could have married his daughter to any of the greatest princes. However, Devahuti, she simply wanted spiritual life. Therefore, Swayambhuva Manu married her to a sage living in the jungle. Some very serious adjustments would have to be made in her lifestyle, but she accepted it gratefully. Kardama Muni was engaged in such severe tapasya, and Devahuti, she didn't want to eat until she fed her husband. But the problem is her husband never ate. So she became emaciated then. It was very difficult. But Kardama Muni's heart was very soft. He honored, loved, and respected his wife. He was so grateful to her. He understood what she's going through to live with him. So he wanted to fulfill her desires. He could understand that she wanted children. But to have children in the environment of the forest was very difficult. It was just too austere and too much in the mode of goodness. So by his mystical powers, he had the abilities to chant mantra and create an aerial mansion. Such an incredible idea, beyond any technology of the 21st century. This aerial mansion was an airplane that can fly from planet to planet, but not like the airplanes of today, where they give these big roars and people put in earplugs and you have to, the announcements, put on your safety belts. If there's lack of oxygen, an oxygen mask will fall. If you have to vomit, then the vomit bag is in the front. And if we fall in the water, then there's flotation cushions. None of that. So nice. Just floated. There were parks, lakes, mansions, servants, maidservants. In that environment, Kardama Muni and Devahuti had 9 daughters. Beautiful daughters. In fact, Kardama Muni married them to the 9 great sages and rishis. And then a child entered into the womb of Devahuti. Lord Brahma himself came to declare how this was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the cause of all causes. He was coming to the world to deliver mankind by teaching the Sankhya philosophy. After some time, the Lord appeared in the form of Kapila Dev. So beautiful, so compassionate, so kind was he. When he grew up to a suitable age, Kardama Muni had the calling within his heart to re-enter into the forest as a sannyasi, to renounce everything of this world for the highest attainment of self-realization. And also he wanted to set a proper example for the world of what really is of ultimate value, That is self-realization. Since time immemorial, we find great personalities have left immense wealth, power, prestige, loving society to seek out the treasures of the spiritual world. However, Kardama Muni, being very soft-hearted and caring, was very concerned about his wife. So here Kapiladeva is assuring him that have no reservations to go into the forest and renounce this world, because I will take care of my mother. I will take care of her on every level, physically, emotionally, and most of all, spiritually. She will attain the highest destination of self-realization, because I will instruct her in the science of the Absolute Truth. Srila Prabhupada is explaining here how important it is within society for those of the female class to be respected and protected. Where there is not such respect and protection, society becomes deeply corrupted. Kapiladeva and Kardama Muni are giving a wonderful example. Prabhupada explains here, when Devahuti was young, she was protected by Swayambhuva Manu. How? Bhagavatam declares, Swayambhuva Manu provided her nice palace, food, clothing, whatever education was there, but also such a spiritual environment she grew up in. Swayambhuva Manu had, every time when he and his family would take rest at night, beautiful singers would sing the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, sing the names and pastimes of the Lord. And they would fall asleep and at night dream about Krishna. All night they would just dream about Krishna. And they didn't wake up to alarm clocks. They woke up to the Brahmins and the singers would come again and sing the beautiful narrations of the Lord's names and pastimes. They had beautiful deity worship in their home. They were always entertaining saintly persons. In this way, Devahuti was brought up actually in the spiritual world. Srila Prabhupada explains like this, that if the husband and the wife both center their lives in devotional service to Lord Krishna, then their home is Vaikuntha. Their home is the spiritual world. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he had wife and 10 children. That was his prayer. When he would come home, he would see, because of his family engaging in devotional activities, he would see his house transformed into Goloka Vrindavan, the highest planet of the spiritual world. So in this way, yes, as a small child, Devahuti was protected by her parents perfectly. And as a wife, Kardama Muni, although at the beginning he did not provide her much material necessities, he provided her such spiritual protection. And when he saw she needed more material facilities, he provided all of that too. But it was all with such spiritual devotion. Devahuti had such love of God that the Supreme Lord himself actually made her womb Haribol Raghunathji, made her womb his abode. He took shelter in her womb. And at the time he left this world for the forest, he entrusted his wife to his empowered son. So this is a very, very important example. Real protection is an expression of real affection and respect. It is not exploitation. Sometimes people have a very negative image of India, how men treat women. Have any of you heard such things? There's a lot of propaganda in this way, and most of it is true. Because the culture has been perverted to a very unfortunate extent. What we find in the Vedic culture is perhaps the highest esteem, the highest respect for the female class. But expressed in a way that is beneficial for all. I remember many years ago, this was in 1970. That's many years ago, relatively. Prabhupada said, recently Lord Chaitanya appeared, only 500 years ago. So from the point of view of eternity, 30 years is not much. But I was hitchhiking with one friend in Italy, and two girls from California. They were in so much anxiety. They approached us and said, please, one of you hitchhike with each of us, because every time a truck stops, they try to molest us, and we're helpless. They're strong. We're not so strong. They were really in anxiety. So we paired off. And I remember she said, actually, if you want to get a ride, you hide behind a tree and I'll stand out and you come after the truck stops. So they did. We did. It was amazing. Every truck screeched on brakes, stopped. As she was getting in, I came in behind her and the truck would just take off before we... But somehow or other, one truck stopped and let us both in under the condition that she sat in the middle. And I couldn't believe what was happening at 60 miles an hour. She was acting. It was horrible. So yes, you know, men have the power due to the physical strength to exploit. And protection means to not allow such exploitation to ever take place to any human being within society. That is civilization. So real protection means physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Because we have a physical body, an emotional body, and we are the spirit soul. The ultimate needs of every living being is to love Krishna and to be loved by Krishna. Spiritual, eternal happiness. That is what every soul is longing for. So here, Kapila Dev, the Supreme Lord, is assuring his father, I will protect your wife. Physically, emotionally, and spiritually, she will go back to Godhead. This I assure you. In the story of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we also find this. Lord Chaitanya appeared, although he is the Supreme Lord, he appeared in the role of a devotee, especially to teach us how to live properly so that we can attain the ultimate perfection of life, love of God. So just as Kapiladeva protected his mother, let us examine how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu protected his mother. Shall we explore this subject matter? Raghunathji, yes? All right. Sachi Mata had 8 daughters. But by the inconceivable will of Providence, all of them died just after birth. Her and her husband, Jagannath Mishra, they worshipped the Supreme Lord in the Shalagram Shila with great, great devotion. They wanted a child to raise in his service. By the grace of the Lord, a beautiful child was born. His name was Vishwarup. He was actually an expansion of Lord Balaram, Nityananda Prabhu. He was an ocean of all virtuous good qualities. Sometime later, the Supreme Lord Krishna himself appeared within the womb of Sachi Devi. On the full moon night of the month of Phalgun, during a lunar eclipse, he appeared to the world as Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was given the name Vishwambar by grandfather because he said, this child will nourish the universe. He was given the name Gaurhari by his father and by the neighboring ladies because he had such a beautiful complexion, golden. He was like a golden Lord Hari. And his mother gave him name Nimai because he took birth under a neem tree. He became the life and soul of everyone of Navadvip. When he was just in his teenage years, Vishwarup left home to take sannyas. He renounced everything. Didn't even say a word to his family. He was showing such disinterest in materialistic affairs. His family was actually arranging to have him married. When he heard about this, he disappeared, never ever to be seen again by his family. This utterly shattered the heart of mother and father. Soon after this, Jagannath Mishra, the husband of Sachi Devi, had high fever and on the bank of the Ganga gave up his life. Now Sachi Devi was a widow with only her small child, Nimai. He became her very life and soul. She lived only for him. She would do anything and everything. She would die and a billion times a second if it gave him even a particle of pleasure. That was her motherly love. She had such love for her child that if she didn't see him for even a few seconds, her heart would feel anguish of separation. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu married Vishnu Priya after his first wife Lakshmi Priya left. He inaugurated the Harinam Sankirtan movement where he was chanting and dancing with his devotees practically day and night, filling all directions with pure love of God. But he saw that there was various classes of people, scholars, Brahmins, Mayavadis. They were not giving him any respect because he was a householder. He wanted to reach them too. He He wanted to reach out to the people who were criticizing him and give them the gift of spiritual perfection. So therefore, the Lord decided to take sannyas, because everyone offers respects to sannyasis, at least in those days. And if anyone offered respect to him, they would become purified because he's the Supreme Lord. So he told a few of his devotees. In a secluded place, he brought Lord Nityananda Prabhu and told him, very soon I'm going to shave my head, put on the robes of a sannyasi, and enter into the forest. Nityananda Prabhu was practically paralyzed hearing this. He said, what about your mother? What about your mother? How will she survive? She lives only for you. Well, Lord Nityananda Prabhu, after Lord Chaitanya left, he went to a secluded place and all alone, thinking about what sorrow Sachimata was going to experience, he just incessantly cried by himself. Gradually, the word was spreading. One evening, Lord Chaitanya came home. Sachimata was hearing this news that her son was going to take sannyas. Her heart was utterly devastated. She was in so much anxiety that she could barely remain alive. At any moment, she would just fall unconscious, and endless streams of tears would pour from her eyes. She would be trembling. Lord Chaitanya saw her in that condition and sat beside her silently. Sachimata, with a choked voice, spoke sweet loving prayers to her son. Sachimata said, O Gauranga, do not leave. Please, please, do not leave me and go away. Seeing your beautiful face is the only thing that keeps me alive. Your eyes are lotus flowers. Your face is the shining, radiant full moon. Your beautiful lips are bright red. Your teeth are like pearls and jasmine flowers. Your words shower incessant nectar upon me. When you walk, and when you make beautiful gestures, you're graceful like an elephant. This is what keeps me alive. Please, my son, O Gauranga, please do not leave me. You have so many wonderful friends. There is Advaita and Srivas. They have given their life, their everything, only for your pleasure. And Nityananda, he is none different than you. He is like a second manifestation of yourself. He has such love, such affection for you. And then there is dear Gadadhar. Your loving associates. Why do you want to break their hearts by going away? Please remain within your friends and spend day and night in your own courtyard. Chanting the holy names and dancing in happiness. Why? Why do you want to go away? You have descended into this world to establish and protect religious principles. What kind of religious principle is it to break the heart of a widowed mother and leave her alone? Is that what you call religious principles? Your brother has left me. Your father has gone back to Vaikuntha. I have no one but you. In seeing you, I forget all the sorrows of this world. What kind of religious principle will you teach the world by leaving me alone to die? Without seeing your lotus feet, I will certainly give up my life. Even when there is no lamps, the luster of your limbs illuminate my entire house. Please, do not kill your mother. Stay home. As she spoke, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so overcome with emotion, he could not say anything. This is an incredible concept. He's the supreme absolute truth, the controller of all controllers, the independent lord of all lords. But he was unable to speak. So overcome by the loving emotion of his mother, from that day on, Sachimata, her complexion became pale. She was unable to eat. Her body was emaciated. She was incessantly crying, oftentimes falling unconscious. Seeing her in that condition, Lord Chaitanya, her beloved son, sat beside her, and with a choked voice spoke with deep love and affection. He said, "My dear mother, you are eternally my mother. In the past, you were Prishni, and I was your son, Prishnigarbha. And then you became Aditi, and I took birth as your son, Vamanadev. You were Devahuti, and I appeared as your son, Kapiladev, and spoke to you the Sankhya philosophy. In the past, my dear mother, you were Kausalya, and I was your beloved son, Sri Ramchandra. And then again, you appeared as Devaki, and I appeared as your son, Krishna, in the prison house of Kamsa in Mathura. My dear mother, I am always your child. In order to establish the Sankirtan movement, I have appeared in two forms, and you are my mother. You are the goddess of the earth, and I, your son, is the worshipable deities in the temple. You are the tongues of all the devotees, and I am born from you in the form of the chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Although to rescue the fallen souls of this world, I must take sannyas, please don't, my mother. You are always in my heart, and I am always in yours. We are never separate. Hearing these sweet words, actually Lord Chaitanya then told her that I owe everything to you. I owe my birth to you. You gave your heart, your soul, your everything to nourish me. Whatever devotion I have inherited from you. Whatever religious principles I understand and I follow, I have learned from you. There is no possible way within my life, there is no possible way in all of eternity that I can ever repay the debt I owe to my mother. Please know, you are always in my heart and I will always be in yours. Hearing these words, Sachimata was slightly pacified. At least enough to go on living. It was on the day of Makara Sankranti, the day when the sun enters into the northern direction. Lord Chaitanya decided that would be the, that night he would leave. Now the devotees, they didn't, except for five people that Lord Chaitanya told. He told Nityananda, actually, you can tell five people that tonight I'm leaving home to take sannyas. My mother knows. You can tell Mukunda Dutt, Chandrasekhar, Brahmananda, and Gadadhar. So that day was very special. Spontaneously, all the devotees came to the Lord's house. They didn't know why. They were just so attracted to just be at his house. And all of them were just gazing at the beauty of Lord Chaitanya. Their hearts enthralled with ecstatic love. Lord Chaitanya gave them simple instructions. Instructions that they would enshrine within the altar of their hearts and remember it always. He said, my dear friends, please, I appeal to you, chant the names of Krishna. Speak about Krishna. Worship Krishna. Always remember Krishna. Whatever you do, do it for the pleasure of Krishna. Whether you're sleeping or awake, whether you're eating or doing anything, always be chanting Krishna's names. Always remember Krishna. Always offer your hearts to Krishna. Now please, all of you go home. With great difficulty, they all went home. The evening came. Kolavecha Sridhar arrived. I think all of you know the story of Kolavecha Sridhar, which we do not have time to tell. But he was in utter poverty by material standards. He lived in a thatched hut. His clothes were so old, they had more holes, and he would tie knots between the two sides of the holes to keep his clothes together. He was emaciated. But from the roof of his straw hut, a squash would grow on a regular basis, and he would always bring that squash for Lord Chaitanya. Very simple. So he came with a squash and presented it to the Lord. And the Lord was so happy. He was thinking in his heart that this will be the last squash that I'm going to receive from Kolavecha Sridhar. And he was feeling great emotion. Said, I'm leaving tonight, so I must have this squash. While he was thinking like this, another person came to his house and presented him some milk. So he called for his mother, Sachi Devi, and said, please prepare Kolavecha Sridhar's squash by cooking it in milk. Now when Sachi Mata cooked, because of her intensely sweet love, whatever she cooked was sweeter than nectar. So she prepared a kheer, a thickly condensed milk with squash in it. And that was the last food that Lord Chaitanya ate. Late that night, when there was only about 2 hours remaining in the night, he rose from his bed, very much enthusiastic. He was going to leave home forever. But Sachi Mata had the intuition that her son was going to leave. So she was guarding the door. The Lord approached her, and when she saw him, just torrents of incessant tears flowed from her beautiful eyes. She was an elderly widow. And the Lord explained to his mother his great debt to her. And then the Lord, seeing his mother, she could not say a word. She actually became stunned like an inanimate statue. There was no movement on any limb, only tears flowing from her eyes. So the Lord asked her permission to go, because he would not leave without her permission. And he mystified her in such a way that she slightly moved her head without even knowing she was doing. Hare Krishna. Then the Lord, with great love and respect, he took dust from her lotus feet and placed it upon his head in reverence for her. Then he circumambulated her several times out of love and respect and walked out the door. He crossed the river Ganges all alone by swimming and then walked all the way to Katwa. Just a couple hours later, this is a very wonderful experience, seeing this high technology used in the service of the Lord. Every morning, all the devotees would start their day by seeing Lord Chaitanya. They rose from their sleep, they took their bath in the Ganga. Immediately, they all assembled to bow down to Lord Chaitanya before beginning their sadhana and their other forms of worship. But on this day, they saw standing outside the door was Sachi Mata. She was like a statue, weeping incessantly. The devotees asked, what's happened? What's going on? Why are you standing here? But she could not speak a word. They could understand. Ultimately, Sachi Devi said, all the property of the Lord Vishnu belongs to his devotees. So therefore, whatever is here now belongs to you. I have no reason to live. Then the devotees understood the Lord left to take sannyas. Very difficult. They tried to pacify Sachi,
But how could they pacify her when they were in almost as bad of state as them? In fact, Advaitacharya, he said, I'm going to the Ganges to drown myself. I cannot live. The Lord has left us. And if any of you try to stop me, then in the middle of the night, I'll go and do it. And all the devotees said, we will not try to stop you. We're going with you to do it. So the whole assembly of hundreds of devotees were all in a procession to go to the Ganges to commit suicide. Haribo. That was their love for the Lord. When they approached the Ganges and Advaita was just about to go in, a celestial voice spoke from the sky and said, Advaita, devotees, said, your Lord will soon be back with you to dance and chant for your great satisfaction. Be patient. So Advaitacharya was very happy. And all the devotees, when he proclaimed this information, they all decided the only way we can possibly survive these days in separation from the Lord till he's once again with us is to remain together, loudly chanting the holy names. Lord Chaitanya took sannyas, but he did it in such a thoroughly responsible way. One of his very intimate, loving associates was Bamsee Badana. Bamsee Badana, according to Kavi Karnapur in the Gorganodesh Deepika, in Goloka Vrindavan is Krishna's flute. He was actually the incarnation of Lord Sri Krishna's flute. He was such a dear associate of the Lord. The Lord told Bamsee Badana that he should take care of Sachi Mata and Vishnu Priya for the rest of their lives. So the Lord did not just leave, but he responsibly took care fully of the protection of his mother. Bamsee Badana, in fact, he lived day and night with Sachi Mata and Vishnu Priya. And all the devotees were doing everything and anything to protect and assist them. In fact, Bamsee Badana, on Vishnu Priya's desire, had made a beautiful deity of Lord Chaitanya, which was worshipped by Vishnu Priya and Bamsee Badana. And today, that deity is still present in Koladweep, Navadweep. It's one of the most important worshipable deities of the Navadweep area in our sampradaya. It is described in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita how every time Sachi Devi cooked, she would actually see Lord Chaitanya. Not every time. Every time she cooked, actually, Lord Chaitanya would personally come and eat. And sometimes in her vision and meditation, she would actually see it. One time, Lord Chaitanya sent Mahaprasad with Damodar Pandit back to Sachi Devi. And he gave a message. He said, do you remember that time, my dear mother, that you cooked a nice feast for me and you offered it on the altar and you were thinking, these are just the favorite foods of my Nimai, and you offered it to the deity. And then you came back to take the prasad off the altar, and you saw there was nothing on the plates. And due to your humility, you became so confused and bewildered, you were thinking, maybe I forgot, I cooked it all, but I forgot to put anything on the plates, and I offered empty plates. Or maybe an animal snuck in the altar and ate it all. So then you went out and filled up the plates again and offered it again. You remember this, Mother. You never told anyone else. But I tell you this, that I came and I ate everything. In fact, every time you cook, I personally appear and eat everything. In reciprocation to your love. So yes, this protection of the mother was very much established by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Actually, after the Lord took sannyas, this is a very incredible story. Lord Nityananda Prabhu tricked him to go to Shantipur. And Advaitacharya had Sachimata brought back. This is just very soon after he took sannyas. Sachimata sees her beloved Nimai, but his beautiful, cascading, black, silken hair was cut off. He had a shaved head. His beautiful robes, which were golden like lightning, were now replaced with drab saffron sannyasi robe. The beautiful ornaments he had were no longer upon him. Her eyes flooded with tears seeing her son as a renunciate. And in reciprocation to her love, Lord Chaitanya fell in complete prostration at Sachimata's feet. And then he got up and sat on her lap. He's the crest jewel of sannyasis. Sat on his mother's lap. And she was embracing him and literally bathing his body with her tears. And Lord Chaitanya spoke with a faltering voice from his heart. He said, "My dear mother, you have given me my life. You have given me all my happiness. You have given me my religious principles. I'm eternally indebted to you. I had no right to take sannyas. Somehow I became crazy and left you to become a sannyasi. Now, if you like, I will remain home with you." But ultimately, Sachimata, she only lived for his pleasure, not for her own. Her service, her motherly love, was utterly selfless. She understood the Lord had a mission. The Lord's mission was to show supreme spiritual compassion to all living beings by giving them Krishna Nam and Krishna Prem, the name of Krishna and love for Krishna. She said, "My dear child, if you stay at home with me, the world will criticize you, sannyasi living with his mother. That would be worse than death. But please do not go to Vrindavan. That is very far away. The same Krishna that lives in Vrindavan is living in Puri as Jagannath. So make your home in Puri, because Puri is very close. In fact, Navadvip and Puri are like two rooms in the same house. People come back and forth. So I will always be hearing your glories. I will always be hearing your pastimes." So to honor his beloved mother's request, he made his base in Sri Jagannath Puri. Beautiful example of the respect, protection, and true love that is offered by a devotee. And very much in parallel with today's verse.
where Kapila Dev promises Father that your mother will not only be protected physically and emotionally, but I will assure that your mother goes back home, but that your wife, my mother, goes back home, back to Godhead. I think it is very late. Once again, I have gone over time, and you have all patiently tolerated me. You are all like my mothers and fathers. Somehow you tolerate my broken words and sit. I am indebted to you. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.